The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub now!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the chat.
.985 The Sports Hub. Be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Vikings this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. The Bankroll Boys, Dan Lifschitz and Joe Murray, are brought to you by the all-new sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. These men are on fire. They are on fire. If you've been following the Over Under podcast, you've been listening to them on our show, you've been following their advice, you've been making a lot of money. Gentlemen, take us through what has occurred over the last week.
Joe, I'll let you go since you've been... I'll let you
straight
go.
Fire, man. I caught fire. In college football and in the NFL in the last 20 picks, I am 16-3-1, all posted online, and literally have probably got like 3,000 to 4,000 followers in a week.
All right, so people now, you know, they used to disrespect you. They would call in the show. They said, what do you guys know? Now are people bowing to you in saying that they've made so much money?
Yeah, I mean, I went 10-2-1 in the NBA last week, and people were just begging me for picks and stuff, and gained a couple thousand followers as well. So, yeah, in the same sort of boat where we just rolled last week. It was one of those good college football weeks, and we crushed it.
Yeah, people tweeting us, hey, we can promote your podcast for this much money a month, and this and that. So, yeah, I think the eyes are opening a little bit here. But
so, wait, advertisers are flowing through?
I wish we could get money out of it, but it's a station-owned event. I mean, I guess this segment sponsored, right?
Well, listen, the Bankroll Boys. Everyone wants a piece of the Bankroll.
Sports book just opened, you know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's been a great week. Honestly, I posted on Thanksgiving Day. I know we all kind of went around the room and who we had for our picks, but posted my ticket. It's right on Twitter at Joey Murr. Made 13 bets, all 13 won on Thanksgiving Day. Had the Bears, Cowboys, and Saints. Took the total in all of them and the second half bet in every one of them. And they all went 13-0. I posted the ticket
Happy
so everyone can see it.
So I lost my. I had the Lions to win, and based on them sucking, that didn't happen. But then I had Ohio State.
Yep.
Which now I. Do you ever get this? Like now, I just wish I took them to win.
Well, yeah.
do you ever? And then do you ever think to yourselves? Because I always do this too. Is that if you win a bet, you go, "Oh, well, I should have had like much more money on it."
Absolutely. Yeah. Hindsight's like one of the biggest things, and. Just in betting in general. But in your case, you took the Lions' money line, so you don't have to pay juice or a VIG on that.
Okay.
So in Ohio State, you got to put up the VIG. Now, because I like you, we like you guys, we don't charge a VIG or any juice to you guys. But on the street, you know, it'd be a different story.
All right. I don't want my knees broken at any point. Yeah. Yes, John.
I have a question. When you want to roll like this, do you keep your same betting patterns or do you add bets to hopefully increase your monetary intake?
If you start going too wild and start adding too many bets, that's when you can fall off the rails. So you have to, I mean, I like to stay on track. I like to maybe add one or two things here or there, but in reality, I'm keeping the things the same. I mean, I was tailing his plays a little bit. I was just like, you know, Joe, I'm just, I'm a ride you. So
it worked.
It did.
So
it
did. Joe, you seem to me to be the guy who doubles and triples down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if a team that I'm betting is down at halftime, I'm doubling down. If they're up, I think they're gonna close it out.
I had my favorite college football player of the week last week. Washington, they covered and won easily. And I regret not playing, doubling up at second half. So, yeah. And he told me to.
Just one thing about that. So, I'm on this football run. Last night, I looked at a college basketball game. I bet a Syracuse game a week ago. They were terrible. I'm like, they can't shoot from the outside. So, Ohio State, I took a -4 last night. Syracuse went like 11 for 20 from downtown. So, it was a pure Syracuse fade, but it wasn't how I normally bet. I was just a strictly fade bet.
Well, you are. Now, what is a fade bet?
Just every post that we play, fade or follow. Whether you like our post or not, you can either fade it, meaning, Dan likes that pick, so let's go the other way. That's just one way to bet. The other is, all right, this guy's hot, let's follow him.
In terms of not, you don't have to disclose the amount of money that you have in your bankroll, but how much has that grown over the course of this college football season?
At least 25-plus units.
A good amount. We have done very well.
Yeah, I think in football,
last week's podcast,
we were at like 63% almost, each of us.
Yep.
And I think it's gone up in a week.
All right, so do you think it's the podcast?
No, I think you're putting your balls out there. You guys know what it is. You say something in the air, someone's going to come back to you. So I just think it's doing a lot of research. And this is another thing, too, we should mention is that, you know, Dan's in a lot of forums. Like, he talks to a lot of guys. I text guys in other states who follow teams. I go to covers.com because there's this guy in Hawaii who only bets Hawaii games. And somehow this guy knows if, like, the quarterback's girlfriend got knocked up or something like that, you know? And I go right on.
How did you find that?
That was going to be my question. How in God's name do you locate
that? If anybody goes to the covers.com forum, there's a guy named Hawaii Guy. And, you know, there's always the degenerate special, midnight, 11 o'clock, and he'll be like, yep, don't like Hawaii this week. Found out the coach's son's got something going on, and it's just fade. You know, he'll tell you. I follow a lot of guys. Dan probably, he tells me all the time, hey, I got a guy, and it's true when you find out.
The Deshaun
Watson thing was one of the things he caught on.
Yeah, I mean, you make a lot of connections doing this stuff. So when you're good, and you make friends who also help you because they're also good.
All right, so Dan, you did the overnight. You ran the board overnight. You were sleeping out here in the lobby.
That's correct.
What did you bet last night?
I didn't do anything. I bet a basketball game last night. I lost.
Okay.
Yeah, I lost.
Was it a late basketball game to keep your interest?
No, it was a 7 o'clock basketball game. I had the Cavs plus 12 and a half. They were covering for, I think they were tied at half, and they ended up losing by 17, blew it. And every single other NBA bet I liked last night won. So I'm still kicking it on myself this morning. So
did you look at anything like at 2 in the morning? Because it can get boring.
No, I didn't look. I didn't look at literally a single thing last night.
Really?
Nope, nothing.
Oh, that's a shame.
I won't lie to you. I texted one of my friends on the way in today about the boxing fight this weekend between Wilder and Fury.
Okay, so, all right.
Heavyweight Wilder championship of the world. Right.
That's right.
Now, where is that airing?
I think it's on pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. They stand to make quite a bit of money.
Just let's get into it for a second. I know boxing's a little bit of a dying sport, but the heavyweight champion of the world who's won 40 fights, 39 of them are knockouts.
This is Deontay Wilder, not Tyson Fury.
Right. Wilder's like 6'7", like 230
he's
or whatever.
He's a monster.
And he's going up against Tyson Fury, this Brit that's just, he's like Ivan Drago with all these, like, you know, he's crazy. But he's won every single fight.
And yet this fight has gotten no ink whatsoever.
No.
That's how far boxing has fallen.
But perhaps that elevates the sharps.
That's right.
Maybe this is a place for people to feast because the public is not in on this.
Now, one thing you should know is this is the most corrupt sport going.
Yes.
I went to Foxwoods for the, Triple G Canelo fight? Triple G won that fight and somehow Canelo won.
Quite amazing.
Yes. So I think something like that will happen in this fight. So I like the over. I don't know if we're going to do a Stone Cold lock at some point throughout the show here today. I like the over in this fight, and I'm kind of leaning Tyson Fury just to go the distance and see what happens when it gets to the judges.
All right. Let's go quickly. Thursday night, tonight, who do you like?
I kind of like Dallas. I think Dallas might end up covering the spread at home. They've been so good the last few games. I know it's so hard to fade New Orleans right now, but Dallas right now is rolling. They have a good defense at home. I kind of like them. They just seem like the type of team that can actually do something versus New Orleans offense. So I kind of like the 7. Honestly, I'm probably not going to play it. The over 51.5 is surprising. It's the highest total this year for a Dallas game. I thought it would be a little bit lower than that. So maybe an overplay.
All right. So the Patriots, they're giving 5 at home against the Vikings. Is that a game you're going to play?
Yeah, it's an interesting case here. I mean, I just like the Patriots at home. I've seen a lot of people on the Vikings plus 5.5. That's an interesting one to me just in general. But I think the Patriots at home at this point, I think the Vikings are a team they can beat. I'd maybe buy it down a little bit, see if you can get it at 4 or 3, something like that.
Okay.
Wait it out until Sunday.
All right. And then you like Alabama giving 14 against Georgia, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm not usually the square side, but yeah, I think
Alabama's unbeatable.
Under another level this year.
Yeah. All right. Now, listen, there's another sponsor, and let's just put Rich's all his money on this. He's he's got a bankroll of 860.
He won $100 last week.
He won again last week.
He's adding to the bankroll.
Well, it's $100, please. All right, so the Stone Cold, that's not even fun. The Stone Cold Lock of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twins River Casino Hotel. Rich will put all his money on this. What is the Stone Cold Lock of the Week?
I'm taking Northern Illinois plus the 3.5 in the MAC championship.
Championship.
All right, Rich will put all of his money on the MAC championship game. All right, and Joe, what is yours?
I like the over in the Wilder Fury fight. It's the most corrupt sport. 9.5.
9.5. All right.
So I'd go. And by the way, the Saints will roll tonight. Don't listen to Dan. Don't do it. The Saints have covered, and every single favorite is one on Thursday night.
All right. The Over Under Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, these guys are on fire. Follow them on Twitter. When we come back, there is a little bit of animosity running through the radio station. We will explain why.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Pats and Vikings this Sunday afternoon at Gillette. A couple things. We're on this Twitch thing now.
Yeah.
And Nick is, in charge of it, and he has bothered me. The whole point of the whole selling point of this studio and us not being on TV was that we were going to be able to have natural light in the studio. And now, because of Twitch, Nick is saying that he's pleaded with me to shut the blinds. And to that I say, no, no.
It's the best because there's, and you can watch us on twitch.tv/thesportshub. That's the new thing here. And there are more people logging in and watching and chatting with Nick off to the side. And the entire chat for the last 5 minutes has been everyone wants to see you melt down while Nick shuts the shade.
No, he's not shutting the shade.
Oh, and Fred, it's been quite interesting watching the byplay between the two of you.
He comes in and he goes, can I? Because now it's the most important thing in the world to him.
Fred is screaming at him, no, I'm in charge, damn it. No, not closing the damn shade.
I said, just because you're in charge of Twitter of Twitch doesn't mean that you can tell me what to do. He goes, well, what if we put the Wallachan in? Idiot, the Wallachan blocks light. It's like, I want light in here.
I understand. Now, the problem is for about a half an hour each morning.
Well, then, good.
No. I'm just for everyone else. The problem is for about a half an hour each morning, the sun hits the studio in such a way that the light will reflect right off the camera in the studio.
Then move the studio. All right. Okay. So yesterday there was a call into the Zolak and Bertrand show, and I can tell. Well, I know for a fact now it's bothering Bertrand because there was a email that went out to the company regarding something. I can't remember what it was, but then Bertrand sent an email that he received from John from Vegas with a derogatory statement towards John from Vegas, to which I replied to everyone a crying emoji, and. John from Vegas is pissing Bertrand off. Now, I don't find the calls to Zolak and Bertrand to be that interesting anymore. The ones to the station are not that funny, but John from Vegas took it to another level. Here is the call yesterday. Rich starts things off.
All right. So this is something that Fred and I were made aware of. I have not heard any of this, but I knew that there was something afoot because yesterday on Twitter, which is where all these things start, I saw a tweet from our good friend Sarge, you know, the great Mike Sarge Riley, who we've been hearing a lot from lately.
Aha! Uh-huh.
And it was a tweet that said, "Thanks, Andy Wong and Kowloon Saugus for providing lunch today. 98.5 of Sports Hub, the best. Hashtag Saugus Wings." And there is a picture that he tweeted out of outside of our studios, a huge spread that apparently the people from Kowloon had brought by. And then immediately after that, there was a response by Marshall Hook. And he put, "Are you even working or do you just hang out at the studios waiting for Kowloon to show up?" And Hardy just tweeted, "I'm asking the exact same thing." So I guess that's where we'll pick this up. This is around, boy. And this is the noon hour yesterday.
Oh, but boy. I mean, he's
not going to end well.
His boy's bringing in some chow.
That's right. You know, the king of the crew.
Like Sarge, it would be so disrespectful of Sarge not to give the Wong man, you know.
The Wong father.
The Wong father.
Traffic from Newton isn't bad middays, well, right?
It doesn't matter. You mean Wong, you know, Andy Wong comes in and you give him the grand tour.
All right. So let's, this is, I have it, Fred. I have the first part. So this is the Zolak and Bertrand show in the noon hour yesterday.
The great Andy Wong from the Kowloon restaurant has brought a big food drop to the studios.
Just brought people some food today.
But it wasn't Tom Morgan or Jimmy Stewart that tweeted it out. It was Mike Sarge Riley.
Like he's like a PR guy for Andy.
I tweeted back like, "What are you doing in studio? Can you last one day without taking your freaking picture with Andy Wong?" And not that Andy Wong would even write it down.
Sarge
himself.
Just walked into the studio with his headphones like he's going on the air.
Now, Johnny Vegas is on the air. Oh, he's online. He's on hold.
And
online.
By the way, just so we have this all
Mark
clear.
Mark and I have requested that since he's in there kissing Kowloon's ass, you know, giving them the Sarge salute of the day.
Sarge salute.
Sarge salute of the year, pal. Get it right.
Okay, listen. Big Jim Murray picked up the food, drove it in here. Sarge showed up, even though he's not working today.
For a free meal.
To take pictures and eat food. He's walking around saying, "No charge from the Sarge." Like it's his restaurant that he just comped lunch. It's getting to the... I'm looking at you as I say this, Sarge. It's getting insufferable.
Hang on. So Big Jim Murray's the one who went and picked it up.
Oh, I don't get it.
Yet Sarge took credit for it?
Oh,
no.
Man. In fairness, if Sarge and Jimmy were not here, the relationship with Kowloon, I don't believe, would exist. And
oh, no, that is understood. So,
just because Jim Murray, that's like saying, hey, the bus driver that drove around Rush is the big star. No, the Kowloon is the star, mm-hmm. And Kowloon is Rush, and right. Jimmy... And Jimmy and Sarge
are Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson.
Okay,
I understand that.
And then Andy Wong is Neil Peart. And so all Jimmy's doing,
Big Jim Murray.
All Big Jim Murray's doing is just hauling cattle.
However,
he's just the guy driving the truck.
What do you say? Hey, this is great that Andy Wong hooked us up, but Sarge is taking credit. Sarge is saying when there's Sarge, there's no charge. That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, listen, if there's going to, in fairness to Sarge, if there's going to be, you know, his best friend's restaurant is going to bring in food, Sarge is going to come in and make sure that everyone gives the proper amount of respect to Andy Wong.
Okay, so apparently Sarge, once again, brought his headphones in, and this is him yesterday on the Zolak and Bertrand show.
John is in Vegas.
Hey, what's up, John?
Hey, guys. I know I...
What? So this is John from Vegas calling in. I did not hear this. We were just discussing something like this. John from Vegas called in while Sarge is in studio.
Peacocking.
Okay.
After Hardy has already slammed him once.
I got that right? This is John in Vegas. I said John is in Vegas, right?
Yes,
this is him.
That's right.
Okay.
John is in Vegas.
Hey, what's up, John?
Hey, guys.
He just said at WrestleCast 95.
God bless Sarge. Never fails to throw in a plug for somebody's involved.
That's why the man's a legend.
He will never starve. Well, that's because of all the free food he gets at Kowloon.
No charge for the Sarge.
John is in Vegas.
Hey, WrestleCast 95.
Hey, guys. I know I've pranked your show a number of times, but believe it or not, I come in peace and to extend the olive branch. I've been meeting with the Sarge Council, and they are planning on declaring formal war against your show.
Why?
Because it pisses you off, Beetle, to be honest.
Yeah, I love it.
It gets sort of annoying. Yeah, it does.
So there is a building storm. The waters are not safe, Beetle, and the council has given me two demands. If you guys can meet these two demands, there will be no war and there will be peace.
Okay, then what are the demands?
Typically don't negotiate with terrorists, but go ahead, John.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Sorry, not Sarge.
Chime in here. This is not my show at all, nor do I have anything to do with it.
God bless John Vegas. The storm is coming. Why? Well, because it seems to annoy you, Beetle. That's why.
It's way Sarge funnier. Is sitting there. What, listening to all
I just like how John Vegas is ignoring Sarge. Like, this isn't why I'm calling. I just want to warn you.
And I wonder if there is some sort of prank council on like Twitter that like get together and talk about these
things. Has John from Vegas ever not delivered when he has made a threat or a promise?
No, he's been fantastic.
Yep, I have a feeling this is
very amusing to this day.
There are so many things going on right now.
I mean, this is all culminating. I mean, it's not just randomly calling into shows anymore. This is warnings and threats, militaristic operations.
Sorry, not talking to you. Okay, demand number one.
This guy just won. Stetson gets a fame. He's unbelievable.
He's got like no
just
life.
Told you. He listens to the radio all the time. It's hysterical. I love it.
Right. Well, in fairness, Sarge, you're in for free food. You drove from Needham to Dorchester to prance around talking.
He's
about
taking something. Ownership of this whole thing, by the way.
I think it's awesome.
Which he should. Yeah, you take ownership of it.
Who?
Sarge. Yeah, he's like, yeah, all right, they're saying my name.
Yeah, I've told you that a million times.
Yeah. No, I have no problem.
If he's not doing that, he's insane.
Yeah, right.
If he's not, he's far more well known than anyone that has a similar job as his.
Sure.
All right, let me see. Okay. Henry, hello.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
There's nothing funny about calling into radio programs, impersonating people, doing bits, and off-roading hot sports takes.
Right, thank you, Henry Rollins. What would you do to somebody who did that?
If I ever encounter this Sarge character or this John from Davis character, I will punch him in the chest.
Of course. Thank you, Henry Rollins.
Fair enough.
Call again. All right.
So we continue.
Let me hear this threat.
All right. So Sarge and John from Vegas and Zolak and Bertrand.
He listens to the radio all the time. It's hysterical. I love it.
Right. You don't love it. I can tell the tone in your voice.
Oh, I love it. Bring it on, baby.
It sounds like it doesn't bother you at all, Sarge. For
no,
sure.
I love it, man. This is great. You're the man, Johnny. I love you, buddy.
Demand number one.
There was a laugh.
I wouldn't call that a laugh so much as a sinister warning.
Oh, boy.
The ghost of Sarge.
Whoops.
Oh, my word.
I screwed that up.
Demand number one. Yeah. Your show needs to have at least a monthly Sarge Sucks segment in which you play your favorite calls.
We sort of do that already.
I think we've already covered ourselves, at least for this month.
Then that shouldn't be a problem. And demand two should be very simple. All three of you, Mark, Scott, Robert, all three of you, say on air, admit that Sarge sucks on the radio. And all the
by the way, I'm getting notices here. It says the council is real and I'm part of it.
Yeah.
So there's people who are saying, yes, I am part of the council.
So John from Vegas is on Twitter. If you'd like to join his council.
He has an army, apparently.
And start growing the army and start being able to make real demands.
But when will they attack? Like I don't know what the plan is.
Or who. This might be a false. This might be like, you know, detonating like a dummy bomb over here. And then, they're really looking to attack somewhere else.
Right.
So who knows? This could be a bait and switch situation. But, I mean, if that council grows powerful enough, I mean, Santa Sarge is coming to town.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
So we shall see. I don't even want to know when it's coming.
The Sarge salute.
Oh, no.
John of Vegas, don't contact us. Don't tell us. I want to be surprised.
But we need to tell you something.
It's all good, baby. So,
Sarge here.
It's all good, baby.
All right. So that all, we'll find out how that all ends up.
By the way, I'm realizing that Nick lied to me yesterday.
Well, how's that?
He was like trying to shut the window shade, and I'm like, why are you trying to shut the window shade? And he goes, because I saw you looking and it was bothering your eyes. So he lied to me like a child.
Was that really? That was the reason? That was the excuse yesterday?
Yeah.
I was here for that conversation. Okay.
Well, I'm not budging on that. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Minnesota Vikings this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Well, coming up at 7:50 is something that even the most cold-hearted of you will enjoy. There's not a person I've met that will not revel in what is about to happen. So that is coming up at 7:50. We're not giving you anything, audience, except for joy and laughter. And that is all we will give you. And not a single one of you that's not a cold-hearted monster will not agree. So we will be back. Here are the headlines.
Can mornings get any better?
Yeah. Could you please help me?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. We were talking earlier. Well, by the way, this is going to be a quick break because we have to get to the thing we've been teasing for 2 days. There is something coming up that there is not a man, woman, or child out there that will not be delighted by.
I can't wait for this. I've been looking forward to this for a while now. It's something that's been in the planning for almost 2 months.
It's got everything that you could want. Holiday spirit.
Sure.
Innocence.
And mystery.
And also, there's mystery and expertise.
Yep. There is. There's an element that it's going to be very tough to keep us, what's the word, pure, maybe negligent about certain aspects of this that we want to stay negligent of. Naive, I guess.
Yes. I've made some demands.
Okay, good. Well, I'm looking forward to this. So in about 10 minutes... We will get to that.
All right. By the way, be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Vikings Sunday afternoon at Gillette. We were talking about this before, is that Josh McDaniels, again, is for some unknown reason going to be, there's a half dozen jobs. The Jets are going to fire Bowles. The Green Bay is going to fire McCarthy.
The Browns need somebody. On top of that, who else is on the hot seat? There's
Tampa Bay.
Oh, the Cardinals, I'm sure, are going to make a move.
I've heard that the Cardinals are not going to make a move. Because it's a rookie coach and he's kind of gotten screwed.
Okay.
So that is
maybe Denver. I mean, it depends on how they finish the season. Joseph might not have a.
I've heard that he's done enough. I've read that he's done enough that they don't expect him to be fired. I mean, all this could happen. But Green Bay, Tampa, and the Jets all seem to be openings that will happen.
You know what might open? It depends on how they end, but the Ravens. There's been talk about Harbaugh being let go.
If they don't make the playoffs, that he's supposed to go.
And the players, I think, are on board with that. So there's a little bit of dissent.
Is there a possibility about Jacksonville? Is there a possibility?
Sure.
No. Giants.
They're not going to fire him around.
Why wouldn't they?
Because they've already fired the offensive coordinator, and they're also saying, well, maybe it was a Bortles thing. It's not the coach.
We just had Will Brinson come in and say these are the first couple of steps to a complete blow up and revisit.
Coughlin screwed up because he didn't bring in competition for Bortles. I mean, they were perfectly content with riding him. I mean, why wouldn't there was Bridgewater, there was Fitzpatrick. I mean, there was cheap options that you could have brought in at least to push him.
Yeah, Arizona just hired a new head coach last season, right?
Marvin Lewis could be on the hot seat.
Well, you and I go back and forth on this.
The man who will never get fired.
You're on Team Marvin, so.
No, I'm not on go Team Marvin. I'm on Team
you're
Marvin
saying
will
Marvin
never,
will
get,
never
fired.
Get fired. Right. Yeah,
because if he hasn't been fired by now, like the last 5 years, there are probably four of those five where you go, well, you got to fire him because of this. and he has not been fired. And well, at least they've got a great coach in the waiting in Hugh Jackson.
Right.
Which is my favorite rumor that's out there that he would take over.
Well, that's a strange organization.
But you're right. With Josh McDaniels, not only is he in the top of the list of, according to ESPN yesterday, the reports that 4 to 5 teams would consider him at the very top.
Yeah.
But there's also a report that Josh McDaniels has leaked it out, or at least someone has leaked it out in his camp that he would be open to it. Now
he's a pussy. He wants them all to ask him, and his big excuse is that he doesn't want to move his family. Give me a break. And then people go, "Well, move your family." No, if there's 32 jobs and you want one of them, you have to move. I mean, you have to move in the country. No one's asking him to move to Siberia. I mean, move to Cleveland. Like, you can't get that together? There's 32. In the world, 32 people get to do what you want to do.
But he knew that this year he would get 4 to 5 more teams that want him.
All right, well, he could have had Indianapolis, and Indianapolis doesn't look like such a bad job now.
Well, what's his name? Looks like a genius. I mean, he's been with Reich.
Well, Reich doesn't look like a genius. I'll tell you who looks like a genius, Andrew Luck. Because a healthy Andrew Luck, which McDaniels obviously didn't feel comfortable enough, In McDaniels, with his zero resume, because he's had Tom Brady, you want now, the NFL has completely changed. And I would venture to guess that the offense that the Patriots run is not something that's going to be the future of the NFL. I mean, it's these spread offenses and these 32-year-old guys coming in. I mean, the coach at Texas A&M, I'd want before him.
Do you think there's any chance that maybe McDaniels went to the interview and sat down and talked to a guy who was going, he was saying,
"Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?"
And I mean, he was like, "All right, dude, I know I've accepted this thing, but you're weirding me out."
I mean, if he didn't want that Indianapolis job and he took the job and hired coaches, I mean.
He sat down and said, "Josh, listen.
All they keep telling me and all they've told me is how damn good you are."
That's right.
What a moron that guy was. a moron.
Well, looking at it now, it absolutely seems like...
Where are you going to go now? Like, what's the job?
Well, the Packers. It's huge. I mean, it would be a great gig. Almost an ideal
gig. Family to Green Bay. Well, if I'm Green Bay, I don't
want
it. It's
different. Think about that. I mean, he doesn't have to deal with an owner.
Bert Breer sat here and said there are some connections. That would be the job for him.
You don't have to deal with an owner, too. I mean, how great
that's
is
right.
that?
Well, get that job. You're set up for a decade.
Well, listen, he turned down Indianapolis. He took the job and turned it down. If I'm any team, first of all, why do I want McDaniels when I have, like, when there's a quarterback that is not going anywhere who knows the game better than he does? Why do I want McDaniels?
Because the lack of good in the NFL owners' minds and GMs' minds, there is just a lack of good candidates.
I don't think so. I think there's a myriad of good candidates, and I think that everyone wants a young, offensive, progressive genius. Or genius in
which
quotes, obviously.
Fits Josh McDaniels.
He's not young, and comparatively.
I mean, he's younger.
And, well, not compared to what's going on in Los Angeles.
Excuse that. I mean, it's like, he's the guy who screws up the curve. You know, in the classroom, like, well, I mean, he's like 12.
Listen, do you want a guy that has a history of developing quarterbacks, or do you want a guy that's been sitting around picking his nose with Tom Brady?
Now, McDaniels isn't 50, right? He's in his early 40s.
No, he's 40.
Right?
He's like 43.
He's not a young, innovative coach.
Well, he's definitely
not.
Younger. I would say he's in the bottom.
Compared to what they're hiring now, that's true. He's not McVay. Yes. He's not 30.
But he's not Gase.
No, he's not Gase. He's not young like those guys. But ultimately, I think he's certainly a viable candidate. Now, I would never hire him.
Hang on,
but
if you had a young quarterback,
yep.
Like which is the entire league, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a young quarterback that I'm trying to develop, do I want Josh McDaniels?
Yes,
absolutely.
This is the dude that worked with the best of all time.
Worked with the best.
Yeah, and the quarterback you have is not going to be as good. I want a guy that can develop a quarterback. I want a guy that has a history of developing
Jim Bob Cooter?
You worked with the best.
Jim Bob Cooter inherited Matthew Stafford.
You've worked with the best, well, and I mean, you have his respect.
But he worked with
Peyton
Manning.
That goes a long way, don't you think?
Yeah, but Peyton Manning's the same thing as Brady. Jim Bob Cooter's going to lose his job. What?
Yeah, you've worked with the best, and you have the greatest quarterback of all time's respect. A guy who wanted to work with Josh McDaniels. Well,
fine. I don't. That means
I
nothing
have no
to
trouble.
Me.
Look, if you want to put that whole, you know, one foot in and one foot out thing aside, yes, he's certainly a viable candidate.
Absolutely not. If I had a young, quarterback, I don't want him touching him.
All right, we have to wrap up. Yeah, well, we got important things.
We have very important things to get to. Not negative. Not negative nonsense. We have very important things to get to. We'll be back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, and the holiday season is upon us, and we just obviously had Thanksgiving. And a favorite of many people, clients, everyone else, is much to the dismay of his son, is Mark Jamelli.
Oh, the father of our own Nick.
Young sick Nicholas. Mr. Jamelli, hello.
Jamelli. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We are doing great. Now, we talked to you before Thanksgiving. How was the day for you?
Well, it was great. You know, 3 hours of 3 days of preparation and cooking, and then everybody comes, and 20 minutes, they're done, you know? So then you got 3 more days of eating leftovers. I loved it.
All right, so what is preparation? In the 3 days of preparation for your feast, obviously you're a culinary whiz. What does the 3 days entail?
Well, you have to realize that living where I am, position-wise, I'm in walking distance to Faneuil Hall, which is also the outside vegetable market. So I got to go get all my fresh vegetables. It takes me a while because you got to lug it all back. And then, thaw out the turkey and cook. And just cook and cook. You know, with one oven, you just cook so much at one time.
Now, how many hours of that day do you believe that you were actually in your recliner, able to relax?
Oh, maybe about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. You're not a big sleeper. You like to seize the day. You like to live in the now, correct?
I do. Because, you know, you got the Macy Day Parade, which is my oldest daughter. All her friends are in it. And then, you know, we got football for the rest of the day and munching on food. And no better place to be than in my recliner for that. You know?
So Nick came over and he ended up having dinner with you, correct?
Yes, he did. And he behaved. He didn't throw any food this year. And so it was a nice, peaceful day. And my cousins were down from New Hampshire. And it was a great day. We had a great day.
Has Nick thrown fits before, young Nick? Has he gotten in arguments and thrown food?
No. He likes to make funny sounds, while I'm putting the food on the table and get the girls laughing. And, there's been many a year I've gone over the table to grab his throat. But this year, because he had been sick, it was very gentle. I'm very thankful that he's with us, It makes everything worthwhile.
What kind of sounds does Nick make at the table?
Oh, one year it was crazy. I made filet mignons. It was for Christmas dinner. I worked hours on them. And he kept making, the passing of gas sounds off his arm and like all as we were sitting down, And so his sisters are laughing hysterically, and I'm ready to, cut his throat. So,
respect the filet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. This is filet. We probably had gone 3 weeks without food so I could have this nice dinner for Christmas. So,
was this when he was like 12?
I wish.
So Nick is very simplistic. He's childlike in a way.
Right, he likes to aggravate you, and he is a funny bastard. And that's it's hard to see. Even as a little kid, he'd pull things, and it was very hard to discipline him because you'd be cracking up. You couldn't keep a straight face to yell at the kid,
Yeah, in the Jamelli house, the Three Stooges is like a mammoth play. It's very highbrow. What's going on in there? All right. Well, listen, Mr. Jamelli, if we beg you to hang on, we have a opportunity for you that we would like to present.
Yeah, Walk has to do his headlines, but we come back. There's something that we want to propose to you.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.